Good evening and welcome to a best of edition of White Spot Giants this week here on Sportsnet 650. My name is Dan O'Connor, voice of the Vancouver Giants. Crazy to think that we are gravitating towards the end of July. The return of the NHL playoffs will soon be upon us, and the hockey conversation continues even at the junior level. We've been very fortunate over the past 2 years to have some remarkable conversations on White Spot Giants this week. And as we are into the summer and as the weather is shining hot this week, wanted to double back and rerun some of the memorable interviews from the previous year, really from the start of 2020 onward. Coming up in the next hour, we are going to hear from four different guests on White Spot Giants this week, going to rerun a conversation from March of 2020 with Steve O'Rourke, working in player development with the Prince George Cougars. But the conversation that I want to rerun for you is a really entertaining one that happened back in March before a game in Prince George that we ran on this show, talking all sorts of player development facts and also a funny story or two from the Tri-City days that might involve current Vancouver Giants president and majority owner Ron Toigo. We're also going to hear from Bill Wilms, who back in January of 2020 counted down his top 10 Giants of the decade. We're going to hear his top three picks. But coming up right now, we are going to run two segments for you. Later on in this segment, going to run a chunk of an interview that I conducted in February of 2020 with Vancouver Giants alumnus Tyson Sexsmith. If you'll recall, the Vancouver Giants went on an epic 11-game winning streak back in, late January and into February of this year. Well, back in 2008-09, Tyson Sexsmith and the Giants also went on an 11-game winning streak during the regular season, and he took us down memory lane to talk about that very thing. We'll get to that in a moment. But back in January, one of the first highlights of 2020 took place on January the 17th, when former Vancouver Giants general manager Scott Bonner was inducted onto the Giants Wall of Honor. And this happened before a home game on a Friday night against the Victoria Royals. And the Monday prior to that, Scott Bonner joined me on this show, White Spot Giants This Week, to talk about that very honor and plenty of other memories that came from his tenure as general manager of the Vancouver Giants. Here is Scott Bonner, best of White Spot Giants This Week. I'm sure there were some sleepless nights and some crazy times along the way, but how gratifying is it for you to look back at 2007 and to see all of the success of the event itself, not to mention the fact that you won the entire thing at the very end?
Yeah, it was great. I was really happy for Ron. Obviously, Ron was the visionary of this whole thing. I was happy for Jason Ripplinger, our head scout. There's a lot of people that helped get you to there, Billet coordinator Elaine. There was a lot of people that helped an organization get to where it gets to. So, there was a group of us that, had started out in like 2001, and to get to that point where you win in your home rink, full house. We had seen some exciting seasons with the lockout, obviously the year before we win, and then toast that year and make the trades, because we learned a lot in Moncton about what we had to do, we thought, to win the thing. And the moves for the Kendall McCardles and AJ Thielen, the hard guys, actually helped us turn the corner.
Scott Bonner, my guest here on White Spot Giants This Week. Friday night, the Vancouver Giants will be adding Scott Bonner to the Wall of Honor as they get set to face the Victoria Royals in a very important weekend doubleheader. Giants hosting Victoria Friday, then off to the island on Saturday. Want to talk a little bit with you, Scott, about present day life. Do you still find yourself checking box scores and following the Giants closely? I know your new job takes you in a number of different directions, a number of different cities, a number of different conversations, but is there still a soft spot? Are you still checking scores and following along with the Vancouver Giants?
Oh, yeah. I follow it. I talk to Barkley quite often. Probably, obviously, my dad's still heavily involved, so I follow it real close. We have players and clients on the team. We have clients on most teams in the league. But, yeah, there's definitely a soft spot. There always will be. And, between myself, Milan Lucic, Brendan Gallagher, there's banter on texting back and forth. We're like the hot stove league on ourselves is how we evaluate the team. And, you know, it's exciting, and I'll follow them until I die probably. So I think they got a good shot of doing some damage this year once they all get going in the right direction and get, you know, Bo and Byron back playing. I think they're going to be a scary team to play in the playoffs.
Was it a natural fit for you and a natural transition from becoming a general manager to becoming an NHLPA certified agent? Or was this a thing that maybe took a few years for you to really kind of feel comfortable with your new day-to-day?
It took a few years. It was like I had left the Giants, and all I had ever done since I was basically 17 years of age is wanted to be a Western Hockey League GM. So you plan you plan rosters, you follow teams, you follow trends, etc. And then when you go in to the agent world, you don't follow scores, you just follow players. Like, you follow individuals. It's more the business of hockey than the competitive nature of wins and losses. So getting away from that daily routine of, you know, trying to see which teams are struggling, and that you have to move off of that. You just got to worry about the individual players. And it's a tough goal because for years you're telling guys team first. And then when you become an agent, your job is to just work with the individual. You got to make sure he has, you know, disability insurance, how's his health, how's his billet, how's his play, how's his line mates, how are his parents. You know, it's more complex probably, but it took a while just to change your psyche completely, because when you're into team dynamic, you're trying to get a group of 25 guys to buy into one plan. And when you're working with an individual, he's got his own goals, and you got to make sure that that's paramount when they're dealing with them.
That's a really interesting thought, Scott. Now, I'd love to talk a little bit deeper with you about kind of the day-to-day. A work victory for you personally, is that seeing a client have a big night offensively? Is that having a billet report back to you that he or she is doing a wonderful job at maintaining a tidy household? I mean, working with individuals, I can imagine that there are so many highs and lows that can kind of go along with that. But is it as simple as getting an excellent new contract at the NHL level for a client, or can you talk about even just some of the minor victories that accompany you in your day-to-day working with athletes?
Yeah, like, for example, today the Central Scouting comes out with a list. Well, when those lists come out, you'll have some really happy clients, and you'll have some devastated clients. So it's a balance where you're always trying to, you know, kids score some goals, but on the same night that so-and-so may have two goals, you may have another client on that team that doesn't have a point, or that's sat, or is healthy scratched, or struggling with, you know, the whole routine of things. So, you know, we probably spend as much time with clients that are struggling or more time with them, because the so-called stars, their world is first world problems in a lot of ways. Like, they're really good. Their routine's really good. And some guys just don't require as much assistance as others do. And, you know, we got to be cognizant just not to ignore them because they don't require anything. So it's a real balancing act. And I think part of being a GM, where you had to worry about school and billets and travel plans, etc., actually helped equip me for what was ahead. Never don't take anything for granted, and just, you know, be on top of as much as possible when possible.
Two more for you, Scott, and I'll let you go. Earlier, you mentioned that you are still in regular conversation with Barkley Parnetta, with Ron Toigo, and a number of the individuals that work closely with the Vancouver Giants. Would love to just get a general sense on kind of your observations, even going back to last season, seeing the Giants go to Game 7, how gratifying a feeling that was for you, kind of being a tree limb to the organization with family ties, etc., friendships, you name it, clients, players, and just an assessment about the Vancouver Giants and kind of where they're at and where they are heading with the present and the future.
I thought last year was really good because obviously Jason and Terry were the scouting staff that I was involved with all the drafts up until the 2001. We didn't do the 2002, but the 2001 would have been the last draft that I was involved with. So when you see those 99 born kids and and those guys have a really successful year, it's gratifying because, you know, there was a stretch there where guys were, it just wasn't working. And so you start to have some self-doubt, but it was exciting to see, you know, that Owen Hardy's have a really good year. David Tandik becoming a really good player, obviously, you know, Bowen Byram and Canuck Leapert and these kids that you draft. It was, I was actually most happy for Jason and happy for Whitey. And then this year, I think, you know, they have to change their dynamic a bit this year because they were an older team last year. So, you know, kids like Cole Shepherd, Zach Ostapchuk, Sertis, that's sort of the next wave they have coming. And they're obviously this year, they're going to lean heavily on Byram, of course, Milos, Perzuzio. Like, I think they got a really legit shot. They just got to, you know, get healthy, get everyone on the same page because they've had some changes. And Dicker and Huey and them will have them prepared. And I think they'll be a tough team to play in the playoffs if they stay healthy and trending properly.
I'm going to pull the Bill Wilmes card, and I'm going to add just a sneaky, tiny follow-up question to that, Scott. Michael Dick, obviously now the head coach again of the Vancouver Giants. You brought Michael Dick onto the staff way back in the early 2000s. What did you like about him then? What do you like about him now?
Dick is just like Hazer. He's very, very similar. He's an honest guy, very set in his ways, but he will be truthful with the player. He demands respect. He demands you work hard at practice. If you don't practice hard, you're not going to have success with Michael, much like Don Hay. And from my perspective, in a lot of ways, Hazer's the perfect cookie cutter junior coach. And now what they have is they have a guy that's 10 to 15 years younger than Don, but with the same values. And, you know, he's a big, very good presence. And it doesn't surprise me that he had a lot of success last year, because when he left us and went to Lethbridge, he took them to the Memorial Cup. So I have a lot of time for Mike's coaching, and I think he'll have him prepared for the playoffs.
Last question for you, Scott, and really it's more of just the opportunity that I want to give to you to, just speak on behalf of yourself, on behalf of your family, to any Giants fans, supporters, sponsors, community supporters listening to this conversation, any thank yous, anything that you want to say ahead of Friday night, which I know we are all really looking forward to.
I just want to thank the fans and the ownership. The ownership was great with me. You know, everyone thinks of Ron, but it's Louis Buble, Salton Tierra, Pat Quinn was very influential, Gordie Howe was influential. And we had a great following for a number of years. And, you know, the Roger Lemaires and Mike Charters and Pistol, they did a great job of filling that Coliseum for so many years. I have nothing but fond memories, and it looks like they're starting to duplicate that over at the Langley Event Center. So bigger and better things for years to come, hopefully.
This is the best of White Spot Giants this week here on Sportsnet 650, and that was a conversation from January of 2020 with Scott Bonner, now a Wall of Honor inductee with the Vancouver Giants. In February, Tyson Sexsmith, former championship-winning goaltender with the Vancouver Giants, joined the show to reflect on his 11-game winning streak from the 2008-09 Vancouver Giants season. The best of White Spot Giants this week with Giants alumnus Tyson Sexsmith.
I think we definitely embraced it. Something like that doesn't come around very often, and obviously different personalities, guys have different beliefs, different superstitions in dealing with stuff like that. There was a lot of sayings floating around. Every game that you'd win, it'd be two's a streak, two's a fluke, three's a streak, and all the way up to 10's a fluke, 11's a streak. And you know when you're at that point, there's nothing better than an opponent knocking off and breaking someone's streak. So you knew you were getting everybody's best performance every night, which makes you better as a player too, because you know you can take no nights off, because those guys are gunning for you, and they want to be the ones that knock you off and broke that streak. So it was a very, very positive mood in the dressing room. Things were obviously good, you know, playing sewer ball, kicking the soccer ball around before. Everyone's very light, very looking forward to play. I was very fortunate to play in Vancouver in the time that I did, when we didn't really have many losing streaks, per se. And the mood on teams that I have been, when you're on a losing streak, it downright sucks. Being positive, that in itself just creates so much more energy, so much more motivation to guys to go out and perform, because it's, you love doing your job. You're not dreading it. You just want to go out and you want to win, and that's what it's all about.
I'm looking at the box score right now from that overtime victory over the Red Deer Rebels to clinch that 11th straight win. It was a 2-1 win. Craig Shearer scored early in the third period. Connor Redmond then scored late, actually, in the third period to tie it for Red Deer. And then Misha Fasenko scored in overtime at 4:21 of overtime, giving you guys the victory that night. And Tyson Sexsmith that night posted 19 saves on 20 shots faced from those Red Deer Rebels en route to that win. A really interesting season in the WHL that year, Tyson, as well, because as great as the Vancouver Giants were, there was a team out east in Calgary that finished with over 120 points in the regular season standings. I know you got to the playoffs and the season ended, unfortunately, too prematurely for the Vancouver Giants' liking. But, I mean, do you remember looking out east and seeing this juggernaut Calgary team at the other end and maybe dreaming, fantasizing about the possibility of seeing them? And, I hate to kind of go down this direction with you, but what was it like to ultimately get to the playoffs, have this epic series with the Kelowna Rockets, and ultimately fall short of maybe getting back to the final and having that opportunity?
It was a kind of a hard pill to swallow anytime you lose out, especially to an arch rival like the Kelowna Rockets were for us back then. But as far as looking out east to Calgary, obviously having Don Hay as a head coach, he was always looking at everything, and that man lived hockey. Everything about his life was all about hockey and statistics and watching other games and teams and what they were doing, which in part is all of why we were so successful, because of the details and the time and energy that he put into scouting other teams. As far as a player standpoint, I know for me, I only worried about myself and ourself as a team. Everything else is out of your control, so there's no point in stressing out about it. Obviously we pay attention to it, but the thing for me, especially being a goalie and having a 90% mental focus and 10% everything else, it was all about preparing myself for that game at hand and taking it 5-minute intervals or whatever I needed, felt was necessary for that game, to be in the moment, to perform at the best of my ability, to be successful. So I think there's definitely aspects where you're always competing against teams out west, and the thing about the Western Hockey League is you don't face those teams very often. So when you do, it's kind of a gauge. You're going kind of in with a few unknowns because you don't know exactly how they play, because you don't play them 8 times that year, and you didn't play them the night before. So it was kind of a gauge to see where you stood up against the Eastern Conference and guys that you might meet in the playoff runs when you cross over for the final series.
Two more questions for Tyson Sexsmith, and we'll let you get on with your day. Lately, you've had a few opportunities, Tyson, to come back to the LEC. I know most recently it was for Scott Bonner's retirement night. You've had a chance as well to be a part of some, opening game ceremonies and some puck drops and just being a guest and a regular valued alumnus of the Vancouver Giants. What has it meant to you to kind of follow along with the Vancouver Giants, 10-plus years after the fact? Do you still find yourself checking box scores? And, getting a chance to come back and still be a valued part of this organization, can you speak to the pride that you feel when you have that opportunity to do so?
Honestly, when you walk in there, it feels like you haven't missed a day. And that's the thing about junior hockey, is it's a family. You're taken away from your blood family at 16 years old, 15 years old, and you're put into a billet family, but your main family is your hockey team, and it's the guys that are with you almost 24/7. You're in the hotels together, you're on the buses, you're at practice, you're in the gym, you're doing all these things, you're going for dinner, lunch, going to school, all those things. So that's your family, and you never have walking back into that, to the Langley Event Center, even though we were at the Coliseum during my era, it's like walking through the doors again, and you're 17 years old, and the faces are still the same, the ownership group, you know, they've gone above and beyond on every level to make you feel welcome. You know, I always enjoy going in there, seeing the ownership group of Salton and Ron and Michelle, and then you see someone like Derek, who was the bus driver. And, you know, it's like you haven't even missed a day, even though it's been 10-plus years. But there's just a bond that you have that you'll never lose. And, you know, that night for Scott Bonner there last month was a walk down memory lane again. And it was different guys. So every time you go there, you run into somebody different that they have out, whether it's a guy that's playing in the NHL that's come back playing against the Canucks and he's in town, so he comes out, or it's a guy like Kyle Lamb. Like, Kyle and I were very, very close back then, and we hadn't talked for a while, and it was honestly like we didn't miss a day, and now we're hanging out again. So it's things like that, that it's bonds that will never be broken, and it's honestly like you travel back in time and you haven't missed a day. So it's just a really good feeling. Great organization. I can't say enough about them for the person that they've made me be, the career that they made me become. So it's just, I can't thank them enough.
Tyson, for the fan listening who would love just an update on where life has taken you since the Giants, I mean, what does life look like for you today? Where are you living? Where are you working? What are you doing with yourself? And again, we have been very blessed to see you at the rink a few times. I'm sure our fans would love to know what you're up to.
Unfortunately, I was forced to quit playing hockey due to injuries, hip replacement, and then I had an unfortunate accident that basically knocked all my teeth out, and I've suffered from severe headaches and concussion-like stuff now. So I'm unable to play hockey in any sort, which has been really, really tough on me. But as far as other than that, I have a bunch of property development stuff that I dabble in, rental properties, things like that. I've always had a passion for real estate. So when I found out that Kyle Lamb was a realtor, it kind of... you know, just another connection, an old connection, but a trusted connection in that market. So it's just things like that. Everything seems to happen for a reason. But for the most part, I'm healthy and I'm very happy with where I'm at. Obviously, if hockey was still a part of my life in a playing aspect, I'd be more happy. But sometimes it's out of your control and it is what it is. But I'm living in the Langley area, so I'm close. Obviously, growing up in Alberta, it's a completely different mentality, completely different weather and pattern, for sure. But coming out to the coast as a 16-year-old and seeing the ocean, living in Tawasin and Ladner, playing downtown Vancouver, and just experiencing that stuff, I knew from that point that I'd always want to live in this area. So it's definitely the home to me, and it's always great when you're walking around and you see someone wearing a Giants hat or a sweatshirt, or somebody even recognizes you and says something to you. So it's, I'm definitely very, very happy with where I'm at in my life.
I can't thank you enough for making time for this show, and for you always being so willing to, you know, volunteer yourself and be a part of so many of these great alumni opportunities for the Vancouver Giants, Tyson. And I know that, you know, you are still regarded so fondly and so highly by members of the ownership, by members of the Giants staff, by your former teammates, and of course, by the fans. I really do appreciate you stopping by the show today, sharing some of your memories from that 2008-09 season, and I would sure appreciate another longer conversation with you down the road, because I'm sure the stories that you can tell and the memories that you have in that vault of yours, we could talk all day. I know we could. Thank you very much for making yourself available. Thank you for everything, really, and your contributions to the success and the legacy of the Vancouver Giants. Let's do this again soon.
Yes, thanks very much. Thanks for your kind words. And anytime, I'm always available to go down memory lane and dig into my vault of memories and share my experiences. It's something that I enjoy doing, and it's always on the table. So thank you.
We'll take a quick break on the show. When we come back, we're going to hear the top three Giants of the past decade from Bill Wilmes, a conversation that took place back in January of 2020, and then a conversation from March of 2020 with Steve O'Rourke, former WHL player with the Tri-City Americans, a longtime coach in the league, and now working in player development with the Prince George Cougars. All of that and more still to come on White Spot Giants This Week, the best of edition here on Sportsnet 650.